on this Wednesday morning. Aldi, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Dive in on this here. We're just going to throw you right into the fire. We're going to get you to play our Twitter poll question here this morning. Your Canucks GM, do you re-up with Edler? Do you take a shot at Erik Karlsson, or do you try to make a play for both?
I don't think both are in the cards, and I don't think Carlson's in the cards either. I think Rick's right on that one. I don't see a guy like Erik Karlsson coming to wanting to come to Vancouver yet, although I would agree that it's a little bit more likely or a possibility now with Pettersson on the scene doing what he's doing. That is something that is more attractive to marquee free agents, but still probably a couple years down the road in terms of landing a guy like that. I would say, I mean, the reason I think a lot of these polls are split, like you were just saying, Perry, is that you have, we don't know. Like, we don't know whether Edler is going to be willing to waive or not. So because of that, everyone's kind of trying to second guess it and think, well, he would in this scenario. And then you don't know what the offers are, would potentially be on the table. So there's so many variables at play here. It's not as cut and dry as a scenario where the guy doesn't have trade protection. Like in this situation, Edler does. I see both sides of this. I see the value in Edler in your lineup and the fact that he makes you better today. Absolutely. He's playing at a very high level. He's been a very effective defenseman for this team for a long time, and he's showing that when he's healthy, he's doing some great things, having a career year offensively. It's really impressive. You could also look at this as being a sell-high scenario. Look at moving a player to bring back an asset that's going to help you more in 2 or 3 years when some of your key assets now are in their prime. And that's where a lot of people sit on this as well. I think you have to do your due diligence and figure out what the market value is, and then talk to Edler and see what he's willing to do. And if he's not willing to waive, then it doesn't really matter. Because you can try and play hardball if you want, but that's a decision you have to make internally as an organization. How much do you want to pressure this player to do? And I also think that could come back and bite you, because you're now talking about, if a guy like Karlsson or any other free agent down the road, what if it's Erik Karlsson-like player in 3 years? If you treat all your veterans a certain way that you're trying to push out the door and that becomes your MO, guys aren't going to want to come. You're starting to be a destination again where people want to come. We heard Jay Beagle talk about it. I know it's another level of free agent, but it's important you build the right culture and you have that right family environment going on. You can't just be kicking guys out the door. So you have to manage this properly.
Alex is such an interesting character because he's a quiet guy who I think is full of such loyalty. That's the only reason where I wonder if somehow, and I don't know how great that relationship is, but I can't think of anything recently, but if you could somehow convince him to go, listen, go chase a Stanley Cup, and doesn't matter what factors are in place, July 1st, we want you back. And I mentioned it to Rick, you can't, and he goes CBAs, but I think, can you not? You tell me, Alex, you played in this league. Can you not? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We might find an extra year on that contract for you July 1st because you're helping out this organization before the trade deadline.
Well, the only instance of this that anyone can seem to recall, and especially with it working out, is Antoine Vermette. He left Arizona, went to Chicago, won a cup, went back to Arizona. No one's ever said that that was set in stone and a done deal going into that, that he knew he was going to be going back in the summer. Look, it definitely is not allowed under the cap, under the collective bargaining agreement. It is something, I guess, there's always a possibility you have a quiet conversation, but then as a team, you have to have a lot of trust that that isn't getting out. You have to really believe that that's going to be something that's extremely quiet and confidential. See, the one thing about a guy who's that loyal, like Edler is, once you leave and once you move on, you may not want to come back. Mm-hmm. Once you've put that to bed and come to terms with leaving, and you see it. So, you know, look at how long it's taken a guy, come back to him, a guy like Erik Karlsson to sort of round into form this year. So, like, leaving at the deadline, you may actually never get over that. And you see that quite often. If a guy that's extremely loyal and you feel that way. Now, I get the sentiment. I get that that's sort of the best of both worlds, but it's also having your cake and eating it too as an organization. You say, all right, like let's do this. And and get a pick back, and then we're also going to bring this player back. That's extremely difficult to do because there are so many variables. A guy like, there's no guarantee that after he goes and has a run or whatever that he's going to want to come back in any situation for a player. You may go somewhere else and be like, you know what, this is a little better than I thought, not playing here and going and see something else or whatever it may be. There is obviously the possibility for that. But if you're an organization, I don't think you can bank on it because there's nothing guaranteeing that that's going to happen. But at least you would have the asset back. And the biggest risk is obviously losing a player like that for nothing. It is something you have to definitely. The Canucks aren't in a position to have Alex Edler walk out the door and not get something in return.
But cap space is something now, though, Alex, right?
Right, it absolutely is. But if you can have cap space and an asset, that's better.
Well, you know what? Okay, I understand that logic, but I mean, he does have a no movement clause, and so
and
he hasn't shown a willingness. But in saying all that, Alex Auld with us here this morning on Sportsnet 650. Jason and Mill Bay text in here at 650 saying, go after both here with Pedersen, Brock, Hughes coming. Vancouver's more attractive to potential free agents. Spend some Sedin money and go for it. Would you not agree that the Pedersen effect has accelerated things here?
I would agree that they're further along because of how good a player he is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely. But they're still a long ways away. So I think you have to also decide when you're bringing in signing key free agents. Like, and I'm talking like $8 to $10 million type guys or 10 plus. You're only going to be bringing one of those guys in, and it better be the right one. You look in Toronto and it's working short term for right now with Tavares. What's it going to be like at the end of his deal? Who knows? But you also want that to hit at the right time where that player is still close enough to his prime as these other guys are in their prime. And that's an important thing. You Pedersen's not enough. Pedersen and Besser aren't enough. You need some more assets as well. I have no problem with the idea of getting a pick for Edler and then going and maybe paying for a $7 million D in free agency if it's the right D. But to overextend and go $10, $11 million for Carlson, to me, that means, and I look ahead, I'm like, Pedersen's in that range when he's signing, if he continues this, and it looks like he's going to, where's Besser going to be at? You know, you're looking at $7, $8 million. All of a sudden now, you're running out of some space, and you also are hoping that Quinn Hughes is an elite defenseman, and you're also hoping you're going to have another pick that moves into that semi-elite type of player this year, and you're going to have a guy at Carlson who I love. I think he's a fantastic player, but it's going to be diminishing returns over time as he ages.
Chris Tanev having a great year, still is at a very attractive number. Elliot Friedman talking on the program with Walker Rintel about what he could bring. If we were having this conversation last year or in the last 2 years where Tanev essentially almost played half a season, a couple of years ago, 53 games, 42 last year, there's a lot of miles on his body, and when he's healthy, he is so good. But is this not the right time to move him if people are looking just to go? His value might be very high, and if you're rolling the dice on the odds at some point, and you know his health better than anybody in this organization, going, boy, he could be a shot away from hurt again. Let's get something for him now. Do you look at that maybe a little more than Edler?
Well, I think you explore moving one of these guys for sure. And you're right. They're both in this scenario of sell high in that they've shown some durability this season. They're playing at a good level. Very different players, obviously. But I think a lot of teams would love Tanev. And it also depends what you're wanting if you're a team. Do you want a guy with another year of control, or do you want a rental player who maybe the asking price would be a little bit lower? Tanev could be an interesting get for a lot of teams. I mean, he's been linked closely to the Leafs for a couple of years now, but a lot of teams want a right shot defenseman who is that steady and that reliable when he's healthy. And you're right. I mean, I think you make the decision and you say, you want a blue line with both these guys back next year. And if you do, and that's your plan, then you look at things differently. But if you say, no, we only want one of these veteran guys, we want to make space, we also want to add another piece, then you try to move one of them. And you think about, obviously, Tanev's a little bit easier to move because of Edler's reluctance to waive, but he has the extra year, and you weigh it, you look at what the best assets are coming back, and you make that decision. And that's what's going to make these next 6-7 weeks here before the deadline really fascinating to watch, because I would be surprised if one of these guys isn't moved.
So in your mind, based on today, if your armchair GM here, do you want these guys back next year, both of them?
I like both guys, but I'm looking at the fact that are you trying to win next year? And in my view, that shouldn't be the decision. That shouldn't be the choice. To me, it's you still are a couple years away. You need an asset back for one of these guys. That's the way I look at it.
What's a couple years away, though? Like a couple years away from being a playoff team, a couple years away from being a Stanley Cup contender to go for it?
Well, I think the team could make the playoffs next year. It's a possibility.
We're talking about it now, too, though, right? Like, this could be a playoff team this year, hypothetically, based on where they sit.
Well,
a lot
yeah.
of things have to
but
happen.
The pace they have to play at the rest of the year, is that sustainable? I don't know. I mean, they have to. I think they have to play at 107-point pace. The other thing, and a lot of people look at this and say, they're losing ground every day right now. They're not playing. And they've played those games that all these other teams are picking up points in. And all these other teams are picking up points in the second half of the season when the games are tighter, where there's more three-point games. And it's going to be extremely difficult for this team to make the playoffs. I look at it like, do you just want to just make it in and then be kind of stuck in that rut? Or do you want some prime assets to move forward and keep giving your general manager and your head of scouting, Judd Brackett, these opportunities to hit home runs at the draft? Like, that is where they are absolutely cleaning up right now. That's what you have to keep playing into. I get wanting to make the playoffs. I get the gate. That is such an important draw. It's a business. Totally understandable. But this team is also chasing championships. That's what they ultimately want to bring to Vancouver. And to do that, we're seeing teams that are winning. The caliber of player they have, they are coming at the top of the draft. And you need to be able to keep picking up those assets. And this management group has shown that they're able to get some key players a little bit later than, you know, they don't have to be number one or two overall. And they're able to get some key guys and kind of pick off the board and find some players that maybe other teams wouldn't have picked in those spots. You got to give them those opportunities.
When do we see Thatcher Demko?
I would imagine it could depend a bit on how Markstrom's playing. I'm all but certain Markstrom's going to go against Arizona. One thing Travis Green did say that kind of hinted to it a little bit was when Demko first came up, he mentioned how he believed after a week to 10 days of Demko working with Ian Clark, he knew he would be ready to put in when Travis Green thought he was, whenever he wanted to play him. So I would say it's at least, you kind of count back, then you're into that Florida game scenario or into that next week. You know, but then how the Oilers are rolling at a time, is that a tough start? Is it not? I don't know. But somewhere in next week, I would predict it to be. And then that may be his only game in this month, which is fine. And then there's three sets of back-to-backs in February. There's going to be a lot more opportunity to play him in that month as the schedule heats up.
And does it help him, Alex, that his schedule heats up in February and hopefully they're still in a playoff conversation, that Thatcher's going into the nets in meaningful games? Does that help him at an early stage in his career?
Yeah, it does. That is something the Canucks talked about, too, is that the meaningful games, they want to actually see what he's like, not just in garbage time, but when these games actually mean something. So that's important, too, that the Canucks are able to keep this push and play up as high as they can and keep picking up points so that these games mean something for everybody in their lineup, not just Demko, but it is important for Thatcher Demko to handle a bit of that pressure without it being the whole load on him. Yeah, I'm really excited to see how he responds. I'm excited to see after some extended work with the goalie coach, because he talked about that in preseason and at the end of training camp about how those adjustments, it all came pretty quick and it wasn't quite feeling natural for him. While he's going to have an extended run of practice time with Ian Clark, those times are going to be really important for him, how quickly he picks things up, applying them into the game and the game's meaning something and having some pressure to them. It's going to be really interesting to watch how he responds to that.
And it's exciting talking about all these hypotheticals as well. You know, if nothing else, just spitball, talk about these sorts of hypotheticals. So thanks for doing this morning, Aldi. Nice to do this with you.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, you, Alex Ald, the Sportsnet 650 hockey analyst, joining us this morning here on Sportsnet.
Sportsnet 650.